May 30th, 2013. This is the Hermetic Hour, and I am your host, Pope Runyon. And tonight we present a discussion on the practical aspects and ritual techniques employed in the Holy Guardian Angel Retreat. Now, this is the modern three-day intensive solo operation developed by Charles Russell for the GVG, that's back in the 1930s, and adopted by the OTA in the 1970s as the central requirement for the Milano Forest third degree of our Credo Repoa system. Now, the medieval origin of the Holy Guardian Angel Retreat was the much longer vigil of Abramelin Namaj. Our weekend intensive uses the paths of the Tree of Life as a ritual framework requiring 22 separate rituals within the three-day time period. If done correctly and resolutely, it can be the spiritual experience of a lifetime. Tonight we will discuss the traditional background from Hermes through Agrippa to Abramelin and the Pauline Arch and the Lamegaton, detailing what the retreat should be and what it should not be. No one seriously interested in the art of magic should miss this presentation because this is the keystone of the great work. Now, let's get to the background of this rather quickly. We did another show earlier, about 2 years ago, on the Holy Guardian Angel Retreat. Some of this will be a little redundant, but actually we didn't go into the details of actually how to do this in the earlier presentation. So tonight we're going to concentrate on the practical end of this. However, what I want to deal with first is where this got started and why we do it the way we do it. And so let's just say that following the GBG, at the present time, we are the only magical order I know of that requires this and as prerequisite to advance to the inner order. The GBG is, of course, defunct, although the book has, by Lewis T. Culling, the complete magical complete magic curriculum of the Secret Order GBG by Lewis T. Culling has been recently reprinted, so you can check on the references to that. Lewis T. Culling was our senior advisor back when we first got started, and we first got started in 1969 and 1970. And in 1970, we found old Louis Culling down in Silver Lake, living in a modest little cottage down there. And he was the last of the old guard. We hadn't gotten a hold of Rigardi yet. We hadn't made a connection with Rigardi yet. So Louis was our first old guardsman that we managed to get in contact with. And he was a delightfully crusty old character and really, really kind of delightful. A little bit of a lecher, though. Some of our younger ladies didn't like him very much. But aside from his twinkle in the eye, old man lechery kind of thing, which was really just mostly harmless, he was delightful. Anyway, Louis had been a member of the OTO in Agape Lodge. That's the Pasadena Lodge that Jack Parsons was the master of. In fact, Louis, while he was a member of the lodge, Louis wrote to Crowley and exposed, told Crowley about this situation going on with Jack Parsons and a particular member of the lodge who I'm not going to mention because it's still kind of a hot potato issue. But Crowley nobody would talk really about this. What was the lodge is being taken over and by this other fellow, except Culling. So as a result of that, Crowley, when the lodge fell apart, Culling asked Crowley for an OTO charter to start the OTO up again. Crowley wrote him a letter and said, well, you can do this when you're able to accept full responsibility. Culley was a member of the OTO, of course, and he eventually turned that letter that his charter for this maverick or this independent OTO thing that he had, he eventually turned that over to us, and we never implemented it as an actual lodge, because by that time we were getting out of the Thelemic idea. But we did use it to establish the Collegium and publish the Parsons Papers. We were the first ones to publish Jack Parsons' Freedom as a Two-Edged Sword and his other essays. But that's beside the point. Culling was, after his experience with the OTO, he got into the GBG that was started by Charles Russell. And Charles Russell was a student of Crowley's. But Charles Russell was very, very much his own man and very creative in his own right. In fact, I would honestly say that Charles Russell is the forgotten genius of that era of ceremonial magic. Charles Russell was a genius. But he was very eccentric and very introverted, and he died in a little flat down in Santa Monica back in the 60s. And he'd been writing his memoirs in Mandarin Chinese, and poor guy, he just passed away. And now there are a few people who are still trying to revive and hang on to Charles Russell's work. But this GBG that Charles Russell started, it was the Gnostic Brotherhood of God, and then Culling, for various reasons, called it the Great Brotherhood of God, but it was originally supposed to be the Gnostic Brotherhood of God. And this was a magical lodge that was kind of halfway between Crowley's AA and the system of the Brotherhood of Luxor. But Culling was the head of one neighborhood group. He called himself the neighborhood primate. I guess that's the ape of the order or whatever. But Culling had about, I guess, half of Russell's material on this. So he published this book in 1970, I believe it was. He published this book on, let's see, what's the actual copyright on this? The first one was. The first one that came out right about when we were getting started was 1969, Llewellyn Publications. So we got this very, very shortly on. And Louis naturally was trying to, get us to be Thelemic, of course, because he was very Thelemic himself. But let me just read you from the GBG this retirement ritual, because we thought this was the one thing from the GBG that we really thought was we needed to adopt. And the one thing we've got to adopt, it's called the retirement ritual. And I'll read you how this is described here. One document that each member received individually was an outline for the retirement ritual. This was received after at least 3 months of membership. And if one had been a loyal and active member, loyal meant being loyal to the great work and practicing sincerely and regularly all the directed work, naturally this implied loyalty to the neighborhood group and also the headquarters. The word active is redundant, except above whatever. Upon receiving a copy of the retirement ritual, the member was told also to choose his or her magical name. Magical name is a condensation of one word of your conception of your unique identity in the great work. And later you may choose another name as progressive knowledge of your identity. And it's instructions for the magical retirement. This is the actual instructions that you were given. You must first learn this ritual by memory so that you can speak the words and perform the gestures freely without hesitation of memory. The retirement is for 3 days and three nights in a location where there are no distractions. You can drink water but eat no food. If deemed necessary for your well-being, you may take nourishment in liquid form only. The ritual and your written record in your blank book is to be performed 8 times daily, at 1.5-hour intervals. You may arrange this schedule in 2 parts so that you may have a siesta period. Do not neglect to write your record of impressions after each ritual. And in these cases where one would not be free from worldly duties in a stated period, there was a concession of 2 days and nights, but the rituals were increased to 11 times daily. And there were a few cases where the limit of free time was just Saturday afternoon and all day Sunday. 17 rituals were required. And then he goes on with the ritual furnishings and the magical instruments and the signs and gestures. And he has the actual ritual, which, of course, we did our own. We created our own ritual. But the reason why I read you the first part of this is that basically and essentially, we really kept to that idea, except with a couple of exceptions. One was that we decided that we would use the Tree of Life and that we would do over a period of 3 days, and ideally, if you know someone's working for a living or going to school or whatever it is they're doing, they can come in on Friday afternoon when they get off work or get out of school, come in to the temple and go in Friday evening about 6, and they are not going to come out until Sunday afternoon, about a little afternoon. The idea, the way we did it, the way we set it up, first you do one ritual for every path on the Tree of Life, and you start at the bottom and you work your way all the way up to the top. Now, what this means is, that's more intensive actually than what Russell came up with. So what this means is you get about 45 minutes nap time between rituals, and so you have to use an alarm clock. And everybody oversleeps at least once, but everything. What happens is that you're forcing, with this way we set it up, you're actually forcing a vision here, because you keep doing it and you barely get to sleep. You don't get a chance to dream. You're up and you're doing another. When you actually lose track of time. You're just doing these things over and over and over again. You're in the temple. All you have is juice, and you're doing them over and over, and you're going up the tree. And this thing is tremendously intensive. And the idea, of course, is to contact your personal holy guardian angel. Now that you know where this came from, I might add that I don't know whether Charlie got the original idea from Cagliostro, but I know that Cagliostro was going to do the same thing. But Cagliostro wanted people to build a 2-story cottage and stay in it for 45 days. And frankly, I don't think anybody in Cagliostro's lodge ever did that. And probably Cagliostro didn't, but that's what Cagliostro was supposedly going to require. What Charles came up with was much, much, much more practical. And then our rendition of it was, I think, an improvement too. But now, the idea here is to get in touch with and manifest, make your connection with your holy guardian angel that is your direct link to God. Now, now is when things get complicated. That sounds fairly simple. But things get complicated when we talk about what your holy guardian angel really is and how you determine this and how you go about getting your holy guardian angel once you've determined what you're going for. So let's go back and make sure we understand where that comes from. Now, the classical text behind this is a late medieval grimoire that is called the Book of Abramelin or the Sacred Magic of Abramelin the Mage. Now, here again, this is kind of complex because the first version of the Sacred Magic of Abramelin the Mage, which the Western magic, modern Western magic, came in contact with, was MacGregor Mather's translation of the French version of what was originally a German book. And the French version of the Sacred Magic of Abramelin the Mage, which Mathers translated and which Crowley attempted and didn't finish, but in which calls for something like a 16-week retreat. And the French version was incomplete. And really, really, not only incomplete, but it was terribly wrong. The way, and fortunately, Mathers and Crowley and the rest of the Golden Dawn magicians didn't attempt to do it the way the French version was written. Now, I'll explain that to you right now. In the French version of this, the magician goes into this retreat, purifies himself, and has this retreat, preferably away from, away from the madding crowd, and ideally out in a wilderness environment where he has his cottage and he can be away from, and he has actually a little outdoor oratory or outdoor porch where he has his temple where he can see the sun come up and let's do this. And so he does his horizons or his prayers and everything every day. And until finally he gets in contact with his guardian angel. And once he gets in contact with his guardian angel, really manages it after this 60-week regime, then he has the power over all of the spirits, elementals, demons, if you will, whatever. He is then in direct contact with God, and he has the holy power to control all these spirits. Now, that's the idea. But the French version, for some unknown reason, the person who wrote the French version had the magician employing a child as a scribe. Now, granted, a number of magicians had to do this because we didn't have an effective system of yoga in the West in those days. And we didn't have an effective system of hypnosis at the time when this book was developed. So there were a number of magicians who did exactly this. And, of course, John Dee, he hired Edward Kelly to do his scrying for him. And Cagliostro occasionally used children to do his scrying for him. But this is, well, it's really not good. What is it? the child's getting maybe his holy guardian angel, but gosh. Now, this was wrong, and this was not in the original book. The original German version of Abramelin did not have you using a child. So I want to point this out, that this Sacred Magic of Abramelin the Mage was flawed, very deeply flawed in that respect. But actually, the truth of the matter is, even Crowley didn't try to use a child. He tried to did himself. And I assume Mathers also, when he experimented with it, did the same thing. Now, recently, for those of you who want to do the research, we have a new translation of the German version, and this is really much more authentic, and it has all of the complete list of demons, which, by the way, Franz Barton took the whole 360 spirits of the earth sphere, and he used them, and you can see right where they come from here in the German version of Habermelin, of the Book of Habermelin. This came out, by the way, from Ibis Press, and let me see what the date on this is. Published 2006 by Ibis Press, and it's I strongly recommend that. Now that was the Renaissance origin of the Holy Heart and Angel Retreat. But let's go back a little further, a lot further actually. This starts. This whole idea of the Holy Guardian Angel and the magician getting in contact with the Holy Guardian Angel, actually, this starts with Hermes Trismegistus. And then it goes directly now, from Hermes Trismegistus to Abbot Trithemius and Agrippa. And they wrote it up. They improved. Well, Renaissance termies a little bit, and they wrote it up, and then their version of it was picked up by the writer of the Pauline Art, which is one of the books of the Lamegaton, which came along 100 years or so later, and so they got the direct lift out of Agrippa in that description, which I will read you, so you understand what the structure of this thing is and how it works. Now, I'm going to read right directly from Hermes here, so you understand. And this is about 200 AD here, and this is the Scott. By the way, this is the Scott translation. I got to get over the lights right here. Let's see. They, the demons, are also the authors of disturbances upon the earth, the work of multiple trouble, both for cities, nations, collectively, and individual men. For they mold our souls into another shape and pull them away to themselves, being seated in our nerves and marrow and veins and arteries, and penetrating even to our inmost organs. And for at a time when each one of us is born and made alive, the demons who are at that moment on duty as ministers of birth take charge of us. That is, the demons who are subject to some one planet. For the planets replace one another from moment to moment, and they do not go on working without change, but succeed one another in rotation. And those demons that make their way in through the body and enter into the two irrational parts of the soul, now get that, two irrational parts of the soul, and each demon perverts the soul in a different way according to the special mode of action. But the rational part of the soul remains free from the domination of the demons and fit to receive God into itself. And if, then, the rational part of a man's soul is illuminated by a ray of light from God, for that man the working of the demons is brought to naught. For no demon and no God has the power against a single ray of the light of God. That's God with a capital G. But such men are few indeed, and all others are led and driven soul and body by the demons, setting their hearts and affections on the workings of the demons. Now, this is the source for the Pauline Arts. Well, it's the source for the Holy Guardian Angel section in Agrippa. And if you happen to have your big old Agrippa sitting around, you can check it out. But then, this in turn, from Agrippa then, gets lifted for the Pauline art. Now, in the Pauline art is one of the books, one of the five books of the Lamegaton, and it has a whole big chart. All the 360 degrees, and you can, and the Pauline art, what it does for you is it gives you the particular daemon, if you want to use that Greek term, a particular angel, actually, because these they're set up in a sort of a almost a Hebrew angelic form. Some of these angels, a lot of the angels in this 360 degree chart here, a lot of them are actual Hebrew angels, and they're on the, you know, the AH and the EL suffixes, and so they're Kabbalistic in this sense. So what it gives you is that particular angel that is on your ascendant. And you have to, if you're going to do this operation, you have to have a very well-drawn horoscope, and you have to calculate exactly and carefully. And it's easy to make a mistake, so you have to know what you're doing. You got to calculate the angel of your ascendant, and also the angel of the planet that rules your ascendant. So you got two. Those are the two irrational ones that Hermes is talking about. Now, the third one, the one that's your direct link to God, that you're going to have to get yourself, and that's what you're going for. Because your birth angel, well, you're also going to contact, you should contact your birth angel. And we have a, you know, when you hit the particular path on the tree of life, as you do this operation, when you're that path that is attributed to the astrological sign that planetary angel and your birth angel applies to, that's when you're going to contact your actual birth angel. But the primary purpose of the operation is to contact your holy guardian angel, who, just as Hermes said, can override any of the otherwise negative things that your angels of your birth, the two angels of your birth, your so-called irrational ones, that they have imposed because of the astrological nature of your birth. Now, here's a good way to think about this, is that your holy guardian angel is the one that comes directly from God, has been with you through all of your incarnations. This is the angel who's been with you, regardless of what kind of a hand you're dealt at birth. This holy guardian angel is with you. So this is your governor. This is your, in a sense, you might say he's your conscience. In a way, if your birth angels are going to get you off in some area where you shouldn't be, your holy guardian angel is going to say, wait a minute now. Yeah, I don't think you want to do that. Now, your birth angels are important because they give you the enthusiasm for your profession, for your true will or whatever. Your birth angels will do that. But your holy guardian angel will keep you from going off the deep end, so to speak, or for using the enthusiasms of your birth angels in the wrong way. Your holy guardian angel is with you right on through all your incarnations. Now, so that's, and what, you know, the way we find out how to do that, you want to get, yeah, sure, you get the name of your birth angel and the planetary angel, get that out of the Pauline art. That's not a problem. Well, as long as you get your horoscope right, that's not a problem. But to get the name of your holy guardian angel, we have you using the Chevrel pendulum in meditation. We have a whole meditational scheme for that. To use the Chevrel pendulum to find out what name your holy guardian angel wants to answer to when you get that person going. So before you get into this, you're going to very reverently and very sincerely determine what, using the cerebral pendulum, the psychomotor pendulum, you're going to determine what name that angel wants to use. And then you're going to make up a sigil. That will be, and we have various ways of making sigils, of course. And so you'll do that, and then you'll have an idea what name he's going to answer to. Now, once you get him, once you actually get your in contact when you're in the retreat, he's liable to want to use another name, but you ask him, you know, is this the name you want to use, the name that you give me? And he may give you a new name. But the name of your Holy Guardian Angel is your secret. Now, granted, you're going to keep a very detailed journal. You're going to write every one of these rituals you do, you're going to be writing down in your journal. You're going to be logging it. And as I said, this is very intensive. You're going to be doing a condensed yoga. You're going to be doing affirmation. You have a scrying ritual. We use the Almadel type mortar that you've seen. I know you've seen it in our videos and all that. It's either the double cube or the double slat mortar, and with the crystal ball. And in this case, you're going to use a clear. If you can't afford a rock crystal ball, and I would suggest it's worth it. I mean, a rock crystal ball is really worth getting. And it just has a nice rock crystal ball. It gathers a lot of light because this is an angelic operation, and angels are creatures of light. So you don't do this with a black ball. And that brings up a point here. I know that some people are, you know, some people on the dark side want to do this sort of thing. This is not a dark side operation. And this is, granted, you will, after you do this, by tradition and all, you then have power over the demons, more so than you had when you were doing the Galatian before you do this. You will then have power. But it's the power of God. And there's nothing goody-goody about this. This is the way medieval magic and Renaissance magic was. These magicians, sure, they could gen up demons and maybe even send them out after people and do things, you know. And they had a lot of fun and excitement walking on the dark side, but they did it in the name of God. It was the power, the good, holy power of God gave them the power to do this. Now, that's real medieval Renaissance magic, whereas this satanic stuff, this comes along later. This is a degeneration. I've discussed all this before on the Hermetic Hour, and, you know, we've discussed all of this. But this Faustian school and Satanism is a very late and a degenerate form of magic. So this Holy Guardian Angel Retreat has nothing to do with the dark side except to give you the power, eventually, if you do it right, to give you the power over these dark side entities. Now, please understand that, because almost everybody in our organization who's done this, and we've been doing it now for 40 years, virtually everyone has a beautiful experience. But one of the guys who did this on the dark side, and didn't tell me about it, of course, went in the temple and did it on the dark side. For one thing, his porta potty overflowed. The temple smelled so bad that he really couldn't finish his operation anyway. And he went in there and he sneaked in with some 8th degree sex magic ritual that he got it from. Well, I won't tell you where he got it from, because you probably, some of you might have known who, but the whole operation was a disaster for him. So you don't even try to do something like this if you're going to do it on the dark side. because this is very intensive. Now, I'm not saying you can't get a dark, you know, you can't get a dark spirit. Yeah, you can do it, but it's not going to help you. It's not going to help you. It's going to hurt you. And it's just don't. This operation is not designed for that at all. Now, let me point out a few. First, what I want to do is I want to read in the Pauline art here what I read you, the Hermes Trismegistus original here. So let me get into this that they lifted from Agrippa for the Pauline art here. Second part of the art, Pauline, which containeth the mystical names of the angels and signs in general, and the names of angels of every degree and sign in general, and the angels of men, because in some one of these signs and degrees every man is born. And therefore, he who knows the moment of his birth, he may know the angel that governs him by the following art, and thereby he may obtain to all arts and sciences, yea, to all wisdom and knowledge, that any mortal man can desire in the world. The ancient philosophers have taught, and this is already quoting from Agrippa, have taught how a man may know the nature of a genius, whether good or bad, from the influx and aspects of the stars in his geniture. Porphyry seeks after it from the star that was lord or lady of the geniture. Chaldeans find it from the sun or the moon in the nativity located. Others find it from the sixth house in the geniture and call the genius a good or bad genius or daemon. A threefold daemon attends every man. One is his proper keeper. One indeed, now this is very important, one indeed is holy. The other belongs to his geniture or nativity. The holy daemon proceeds not from the stars, but from the supreme power, even from God, who himself is the president of daemons, and descends to the rational soul, being assigned thereto. Now, under that rational, because the other two are irrational, is universal above nature's conception. But the daemon of the birth or geniture, which is also called the genius, this genius doth descend to the birth from the disposition of the stars, their circuits round the world, who are conversant in the generation. And the daemon of the profession or calling, now this here again, the daemon of the profession or calling of the nature is given from the stars, to which such a profession or calling is subject to which any man professes, and the soul shall make choice of this. But this daemon is changed as a man changes his calling from a mean one to a more sublime, according to a more worthy and sublime. Daemons are present with us according as we daily ascend from one virtue to another, and these daemons do successfully take care and defend us. But note this, these angels that are attributed to the fire have more knowledge therein than any other, and so those of the air have more knowledge of the aerial matters and of the spirit, and of course this is the cardinal signs of the zodiac, as you know. So, the gist of all of this is this. You have three angels that we're concerned with here. Two are attached to your ascendant, and they're concerning literally what sort of an astrological hand you've been dealt. And then this other one, who is your guide through the various incarnations, has your direct link with God. That's the one you're really going after. And that's the one that you're going to give you the power over all of these other spirits. Because if you can grasp this, and I know this is a complex subject, but the demons that you're going to have control over are the whole universe of demons that you are, your mind is at the center point of. Because the magician is the center, is at the center of his own universe, and all of these spirits, good and evil, are his. And of course they're connected to others out there in the universe too, so that's the, you have this transcendent power, yes, but essentially this is in Jungian terms. In Jungian terms, this is a supreme operation of what Jung would call individuation. If you want to look at it that way, this is individuation, where you are really, really getting control of your entire magical universe, which means in turn that you have control of the whole magical universe by analogy. Now, I want to get into, now that we have the concept and the origin and all of this fairly well described, I think, anyway, I'd like to get into some of the little details about how we actually do this, because, I said this is going to be a practical discussion of this sort of thing. Now, we're going to go right up the tree from the bottom up, and we're going to, the ritual, it's actually proprietary, so I'm not going to be reading the whole thing to you or anything like that, but I am going to review how it's set up and how it's done. Now, we're using a Almadel type altar. We're using a rock crystal ball. You're going to be burning incense each time. Lots of Abramelin incense, and Abramelin, of course, that's the incense in the Bible. And you're using aloes and storax, or styrax, actually, because you can't get storax anymore, unless you know somebody in China. So styrax will do, and calabanum and aloes and styrax, and make up a lot of Abramelin incense because you're going to use a lot of it. Now, then you're going to use. You need a deck of tarot cards. And we like to use, one of the things I'm going to say about this operation, yes, LTA, we have our Phoenician pantheon of gods, and we have, we have a Phoenician extended Phoenician alphabet. We have all these things that are unique to us. But this operation, I believe, has to be strictly traditional. I don't think that we should be, that anybody should use special God forms or special, you're going for angels. And this should be traditional Hermetic Kabbalah, and should not, because you shouldn't be imposing a particular unique system on people doing this. This should be strictly traditional. So therefore, we like to use the weight tarot deck, and use the regular golden dawn correspondences for the Tree of Life, and also, however, there is one thing though we do with our yoga, we don't use YHVH. But on the other hand, if you're a person that feels like you need to use YHVH, if it's comfortable for you, like one of our members. We're experimenting with this, it worked out. One of our members is of a tradition that very much needs YHVH, and so he uses it, so he should. And otherwise, it has some, I won't say negative, but let's just say YHVH has some offsetting aspects to some people. So in that case, we use the generic Tetragrammaton, Shemaata, or Mashallah. But other than that, we kind of stay absolutely, absolutely traditional. And you're not worried about Yetzirik God forms. We're not going to deal with those. We're going to deal with angels. So our yoga is going to be in that direction, and our entire operation is going to be as traditional as we can make it. All right, so essentially to review this, now, review the ritual here. Open the temple, invoking pentagram ritual performed, and invoking septagram ritual in Malkuth, that's Saturn. After the final ritual reverses process post-temple. And the first ritual is the 32nd path of Tau. You place the proper tarot card on the altar, prepare the incense burner, you light it, serve the incense. You recite one invocation of the path from William G. Gray's Holy Office of the Tree of Life. Now, we were, you know, for quite a while, you tried to use Regardi's Garden of Pomegranates, but the problem with that is it's not very ritualistic. It's just kind of technical. And Bill Gray spent a lot of time and a lot of effort preparing this beautiful little Holy Office of the Tree of Life. He did, unfortunately, like all magicians do, he mixed up a couple of the angels. He didn't like the Golden Dawns having Michael and Tippereth Michael and Hod and Raphael and Tippereth, so he reversed them. And then he did something else up on the top of the tree, too, with another one of the angels. But other than that, Bill Gray's Holy Office of the Tree of Life is wonderful. It's like a little missile. I think we knew Bill Gray rather well. He published a couple of articles in the Seventh Ray. Bill Gray was sort of a frustrated Anglican priest who became a ceremonial magician. So this is sort of like, this Holy Office of the Tree of Life is like the little Kabbalistic, Hermetic Kabbalistic Book of Common Prayer, you might say. It's perfect for this. So with those two little changes I mentioned. So meditate for a few minutes on the tarot card. Remove the cover from the orb. Salute and declare, Holy art thou, Lord of the universe, Holy art thou, who nature hath not formed, Holy art thou, the vast and the mighty one, Lord of light and of the darkness. That's familiar to you, isn't it? Okay, charge the orb, bring the bell, recharge the incense burner, place it under the altar top, fix your eyes upward in the frontal gaze, breathe slowly through your nose. And now we're going to get into a yoga battery. Well, we've got a really nice condensed yoga battery, so you don't have to go through, you know, 20 minutes of yoga before we really got it condensed and we combined the affirmation with the pranayama, and I find this ingenious. We've experimented this. Let me say this: up till just recently, we customized this operation using these elements, but we customized it for everybody doing the retreat. Well, we could do that because we're primarily operating right here in one temple. But now we have lodges in other states, and also we need this ritual needs to be standardized. So we can no longer customize, so we try to, you know, we've been trying to standardize. Okay, now, so you do the yoga, yoga with mantras and mudras and whatever, and then, of course, you declare, this is kind of a proprietary, I am one with God, I am beyond the limits of time and space, I am beyond birth and death, I am beyond gender, I am beyond fear and desire, my consciousness is a blazing star in the vast dark universe. I bring down that power and presence from above and beyond, and then now, this is an extension, our lightning flash extension of Regardi's middle pillar. And hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of adepts have been using the middle pillar for almost 100 years now. So I know there are going to be people out there who are going to say, oh, well, we tried this. Now, you do, if you're going to do Western Holy Guardian Angel retreat, use some version of the middle pillar. If you don't want to use the whole extended version, then for heaven's sake, use the regular standard Golden Dawn version. But your yoga is going to be on the middle pillar. And so, now, then, then you have the ritual itself. And I will just read you just a little bit of this, just not the whole thing. But let me get through quite this, and let's see. One make me one of the lesser gods and master of all spirits, demons, and elementals, both good and evil, so long as I bind them for a rightful purpose and a fair reward in the service of God and the best of humankind, and come unto me, bless me with your presence, vest me with your power, and impart to me your wisdom. I beseech you in the name of the supreme generating and loving force that begins, enlivens, and transforms all things in endless majestic patterns of infinite creation. Come unto me. Come unto me and give me your knowledge. Come unto me and give me your wisdom. Come unto me and give me your power. Now, to keep that up, staring at the ball and with the incense rising, and I will guarantee you, you do this sincerely and you do this honestly and you do this, you keep doing this, and you will, at a certain point, and it's important to know when that, and record when that point is, you will have yourself one very, very, very wonderful experience. And after that, then you'll get more and more and more. So you go through it. You don't quit when you have your big aha. That's not when you quit. You keep it up all the way through, and when you come out, you know, because you're going to get more and more and more once you make your big contact. Now, this is a wonderful, wonderful experience, and and one thing, though, I will say, it's that you have to be in good physical condition to do this. I'm probably a little bit too old to go do it again. Fortunately, I did manage to have a very successful retreat, so, and I treasure it. I treasure my log from it, and got some great channelings from it. But this should be supervised. You should not try to do this without somebody to safety you, without somebody to pass little notes through under the door. Of course, we have a little brass people in the door, you know, at the temple, that the anchorite can pass little notes out there. I need more charcoal, or I'm out of water, or something like that. And you should be at all times. This should be supervised. Somebody should be right outside, in the next room or something or other when you're doing this, because you're going to be in an altered state. You fasted. You're going to be in an altered state. You really need somebody to supervise you, and you need to be in good physical condition. And this is very intensive, and you're going to have a fire extinguisher in there. You better have one, and you better make sure you have ventilation. And the person who's supervising you should listen and hear you do that pentagram ritual. And everybody oversleeps once, but. You should have somebody looking after you, because let's face it, this is a very intense thing. Now, I hope I have helped some of you with the idea. If you do this responsibly, as far as I'm concerned, folks out there, even if you're not members, you might want to do something like this, but please. Do it responsibly. Do it on the side of light, and do it safely when you're going to do it. Now, next week, well, I have dealing with practical magic. Now we've had our fun talking about other people's books and one thing or another, but now we're teaching magic again, and next week. Next week, Dagon. Oh boy, Dagon. And if you think you know Dagon, you wait till next week. You probably don't know Dagon, but we do, and we're going to teach you about Dagon. So next week, Dagon, and meanwhile, Good magic.